Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show, FM Talk 106.5. Real quick programming note, Monday's show, tentatively, we'll have Shane Stringer. Been hearing about Big Creek Lake and his efforts there. Dale Jackson from Yellowhammer News and WVNN, and a guest to be named later. As always, you know, coming up on the program. I usually put the guest list sometime during that 8 o'clock hour up on social media at Jeff_Poor on X/Twitter. So we'll have the show squared away by then, I hope. If not, we'll make do somehow or another. We always do. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. We do this every Friday. State Senator Chris Elliott is here with us. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing well. I usually say it's great to be back in South Alabama. Unfortunately, I'm still in the State House in Montgomery.
So you stuck it out in the State House there. What's it like in the State House on a Friday after y'all gavel out?
It is quieter than Tuesday through Thursday, that is for sure. But you can get a lot done, and I didn't see much point in driving all the way back south to turn around and drive back up for the GOP meeting in Hoover tonight. So here we are.
Well, let's talk about the week that was that just passed. What do we need to know? You said you guys, and I spent a little time up there this week. At least at the surface, no drama, the Senate chamber.
No, again, real good leadership from Senator Gudger and his team. They just are keeping the trains running on time and managing the flow on the floor. And so those things are working well in the upper chamber. I continue to be very pleased with that and the progress that we're making. You know, we're passing a lot of pieces of legislation, a lot of Senate bills, but we're passing a lot of House bills too, that are, you know, similar or on the same topic. And so we're getting a lot of that done. We did a great one the other day. Representative Lomax had that, I think Senator Roberts handled on the floor to really curb the influence of foreign money in Alabama elections. And we are starting to really get concerned about seeing more of that. And I think that bill really takes us in the right direction there.
Well, and kind of elaborate on that. Maybe I'm just blissfully unaware. Talk about that threat.
Well, I mean, there are countries and foreign actors that want to play in Alabama elections, and you have to wonder why, right? And I think that there's one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to make us less competitive in a business environment. And that's, you know, that's certainly something we need to be concerned with. You know, listen, we are a free country and a very free state. The problem is our enemies will use that freedom to take advantage and to influence where they can. They're smart about it. They're crafty about it. But it's something that I think the legislature has been wise to really kind of dial in on and make sure that that's something we get ahead of before it has long-standing negative impacts.
Well, talk about this. And maybe it's not necessarily foreign money from abroad, but also like money from out of state meant to do the same thing. It seems like is becoming something that is, you know, we're not fully aware, it's at, you know, face value, but it seems like that would be a threat from here within the country.
Well, it could be, and especially if you have other actors from other states that are jealous, if you will, of Alabama's success, right? I mean, look at Alabama 20 years ago or even 10 years ago and where we have moved on an economic development front, whether that's Airbus, Austal, Novellus, and then you get into the car industry, you know, and what's going on with, you know, with Mercedes and Hyundai and Toyota, Mazda, and all of those things. If you look at what's happening with the federal government and the FBI and Redstone and Space Force, I mean, the pharmaceutical industry and Lilly and others. I mean, Alabama is on fire from an economic development standpoint, and it makes other countries and other states jealous of our success. And one of the reasons we've been so successful is that we have a regulatory environment that is business friendly, is job friendly, and as you see the economy start to sputter a little bit in other places, that's not something that is happening in Alabama. We don't want it to. And so we need to make sure we're very protective of our continued success.
Yeah, because I guess if you think about it, I mean, how many millions and millions of dollars and incentives and how much money and investment is put toward, you know, any state's economic development efforts? If you could throw, like, you know, $100,000 or something toward a toward something like that, toward a election or two that you could swing, then you potentially get a return on investment that outweighs what you would spend at the front end.
No question. And it's not just the economic development incentives, it's the regulatory environment, right? Businesses want to go where they have, you know, cooperative government officials. And so when you have city council people, mayors, county commissioners, state legislators, governors that are all pulling in the same direction and have a very pro-business, low tax, reasonable regulation environment, then that's something to a lot of businesses that's way more important than any economic development incentive. And so we need to make sure that we keep that stance. That's what's kept Alabama growing, especially in some of our more rural areas. I mean, the district I represent in Baldwin County is on fire and growing regardless. But man, if we don't have to subsidize other parts of the state because they're standing on their own 2 feet and doing a great job, then that's a win. And so as a pro-business conservative, I want to make sure we continue to do just that and that we protect those things that we've worked so hard on.
Let's talk about your head to the Algonquin meeting festivities or whatever you want to call them, depending on your perspective. But anything you're watching for tomorrow or tonight?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Coach Tuberville there. I think, you know, the coach is getting more into the I'm fixing to be the governor mode, right? So he's headed more there. So I'm looking forward to hearing his comments. I think that's very important. I'm looking forward to hearing from Senator Britt. They've had a big win with the Birmingham Southern College acquisition for the Coast Guard. I mean, that's just from somebody that's from, you know, from the coast to have that in Alabama is just such a huge win. And so I want to talk to them about that some. And then I am looking forward to the new party chair election. That's going to be something that's very interesting to see. Of course, I've known all of those candidates for a very, very long time. And have good relationships with all three. But I think that at the end of the day, there's a candidate that's likely better than the others, and I'm hoping he wins that election.
Well, and let's talk about the party chairmanship and what does it mean? I mean, like, in some ways, you know, we can be dismissive of it. And I know there's some people who are very dismissive of it in you know, sort of permanent Montgomery, but. Well, in your view, and you're obviously invested in this because you're a member of the executive committee now, and you're going to have a vote. But what should that role be? Well, what is ideal for you think for Republicans in this state?
Well, there's certainly a policy discussion that the state executive committee has a role in. But as far as the chairman goes, it's running the meetings, right? You have to know how to run a meeting. And make sure that you take sometimes, you know, disparate views and allow them to have their say, but kind of rein them in and keep the meeting going. And I think I just go ahead and say it, you know, the former leader, Stathagen, is in a good spot to do that. He knows what he's doing. I think you have to understand the legislature, too, and the governor's office and how your elected officials actually work and what the process looks like. And I think Leader Stathagen is in a good spot to do that as well. And then you have to modernize the party, right? And I don't mean, you know, that they're not doing something they need to do, but we need to talk about it more. Republicans in Alabama ought to be proud of a lot of the accomplishments we've made, whether it's small government, fiscal responsibility, you know, filling up our rainy day funds and savings accounts, some of the hugely conservative policies that we've enacted, and be able to champion those, talk about those, so that your elected officials from from city councils to county commissioners to the legislature to the governor and our constitutional officers all can be encouraged by that, run on that. And so you've seen the former leader do just that, right, with the Republican caucus in the House. I mean, their social media presence went from nothing to wow, look at it go. And so they've done a fantastic job with that, and I think Scott is going to, you know, if he can get in there as chairman, we'll really modernize how things run, and it will be an exciting, invigorated, innovative Republican Party moving forward.
We're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. How close are we on the budgets? That's gotten a lot of discussion this week. We had Senator Albritton on earlier in the week. But that seems to be the next kind of significant thing you guys are going to be dealing with.
Yeah, it is, and Senator Albritton's done a good job with that budget. We will, and I sit on the general fund committee with his general fund committee, and we'll have that in committee on Tuesday at my old committee time right there at about 12:30, right after caucus. And so I expect to see that budget in committee and get it moving. So that we can start doing what is our constitutional duty, which is to pass the budgets. Senator Albritton is about as tight and conservative as they come, and those are the folks you want as your budget chairman. I mean, we've talked about this before. Imagine having 140 legislators, you know, constantly nipping at you for I need this for my district, I need that for my district, and you having to be the guy that is constantly holding the line. I think of Braveheart, you know, sometimes just saying hold. Those are the folks you want that are good fiscal conservatives running the budget, and we've got that in Senator Orr and Senator Albritton. Sometimes as a member, it can be maddening, but you have to understand they're doing it because that's what we've asked them to do, is be fiscal conservatives, keep us within budgets, avoid proration, make sure the rainy day funds, the savings accounts are all there. And so as revenues start to flatten out, we will start seeing certainly expenditures flattening out as well, and you'll start seeing more. No, you may not have that because there's not the money for it, and we need to do what we said we're going to do, which is be conservative, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, is it, and we talk about the revenues flattening out, but it's not so much that the budgets are going to get smaller, they're just not going to grow at the rate they've been growing for the last 8 years.
That's correct. And it's, you know, I talked about this last week too, and it's twofold, right? It's they're not growing like they have been in the past, one, and two, that money's not going as far as we've continued to see what can only be described as a hangover from the Biden inflationary years. It is getting better, but it is still impactful. And so everything costs more. You know, when folks go to the grocery store, it costs more. Everything you're buying costs more. Well, the same is true for government. And so those dollars just don't go as far, even though there may be more of them. And that is the insidious part of inflation and how irresponsible it was for the Biden administration to do what they done. We have fared way better in Alabama than almost every other state that I've looked at. And so if you look at the financial press, you look at what other states are going through, they are really in a painful situation where we are in just kind of one of those, well, we can't have everything we want situation. And that is so much more preferable than having to make deep cuts. Just because we were responsible, have been responsible, and will continue to be responsible.
Sarah, we'll wrap it up on this, and this is highly speculative, but your colleague Sam Gavan was on Dale's show, and I've been hearing this for some time now that, you know, gambling obviously is not going to happen this year, but it may happen. There's two wildly speculative possibilities. One is that we may get a Republican primary that isn't conducive to gambling, and you could see a special session before the general election to try to do something. Or the other one, which I think is potentially likely because of the way Rebuild Alabama was done in 19, probably one of your very, very first votes as a state senator, the special session within the session. Senator Gavan on Dale's show, not a fan of that, but what do you think of that? What do you think of that as a tactic just to kind of cut through some of the obstacles?
I don't know that would be effective, and I would certainly caution against that, but that's going to be up to the next governor. I mean, if that's the flex that wants to be made early on, then that's up to him. But I think maybe let's let's get relationships established a little bit before we come out charging that quite that hard. I mean, look, you know, the gambling conversation is one that's been around for forever, and it will be around until, you know, something happens. There's no question about it. It is going to come back and come back and come back. But putting it into a special session conversation, I think, either for the current governor, I think would be disastrous. To have a lame duck governor trying to make that kind of flex, I think would not be successful. But I think maybe a little bit a bridge too far, maybe, for a brand new governor. But again, that's up to Coach, and we'll see how he decides to handle that.
Yeah, and you know, you were a yes vote before you were a no vote, but I mean, it's not that you're like a hardliner on this.
No, it's not. And again, I talk to my constituents and I get a good feel for what they want. But the problem is that the devil is in the details. And while I could see certainly a way towards a lottery, I could see a way towards, you know, some of these other things, or at least just solidifying where it is now so that it doesn't grow anymore. Those are things that I can reconcile in my head. And I know not everybody's like that. But the problem is, there's so many other things that get tagged on, and it's just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit of a stretch here, or, oh, hey, let's expand Medicaid there. And it just is, it becomes something that's untenable for me. And so the devil is in the details. It always will be, and it will continue to be until we can actually get this done.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We got to leave it there. Stay safe in Hoover, but safe travels.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Say Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Without you, you look into my